Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Les and Betty are certified natural family planning instructors, and they come today to bring you the good news of natural family planning. Stay tuned as Dr. Les and Betty explore the science and technology and the practical uses of natural family planning. And now, here are Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to our program, NFP for Life. Beautiful afternoon we have here in the summer. And we'd like to welcome you to our program and remind you that as we go through our program is a live call-in show, so that if anyone has any questions or comments about our subjects at hand, they can feel free to call the station at 215-345-1570. We'd like to open our program with a prayer, and then we have some special announcements to make. And we do have a special guest that's going to be on our program today, but as yet she has not yet arrived because she's stuck in traffic, but she'll be here shortly. So I'm sure the Holy Spirit will be able to fill in the time for natural family planning for us while we're waiting. So, Betty, why don't you open with the prayer?
Welcome, everyone. In the name of the Father,
amen,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Come, Father, and send your Holy Spirit to help us to open our eyes and hearts and minds to your wisdom on sexuality. Give us the grace to see a new vision of who we are and why we were created. You are the Lord and giver of life, as we profess in our creed. Help us to understand creation and the source of life and love. Help us to let the scales fall from our eyes, as you did with your humble servant Paul, and let us see the true value of your gift of life, both as originally intended and through the redemption of your death and resurrection. Give to us the vision and strength to increase our meekness and decrease our pride, so that through love of you, we may accept the teachings of the Catholic Church, which you left for our understanding and the proper formation of our conscience. We ask that you help us to understand our role in procreation and to understand your gift of fertility and natural family planning. We ask Mary, our mother, to show us how to let it be done according to your word. We ask all of these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the
Father,
and
of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. The first announcement that I'd like to make is about Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, which is coming up in July. I know this is only June 17th, and we do have one more program, but I would like you to be aware that this week will be occurring this year between July 24th and July 30th. This is a special week set aside by the Diocesan Development Program and the United States Catholic Conference on Bishops. And the purpose of this program is the same as the purpose of our radio program, and it's to spread the word of natural family planning and to spread the word of life and to try to turn around some of these issues that are going on with the culture of death. So we had a program last year that made some suggestions as to what you can do, and we'll repeat some of these suggestions next month, but when we do our program next month, it's only going to be 1 week prior to when the Awareness Week is. So we'd like to do some announcements this month while we're waiting for our guests to arrive. One of the things that I did last year in our parish at St. Ignatius in Yardley is I sent a letter to our pastor requesting that all the priests and deacons consider giving a homily on natural family planning at one of the masses during that week. And lo and behold, to my surprise, although I have to give credit to all that were involved, that every one of the priests and deacons did in fact give a homily on natural family planning, and they were all amazed at how well the homilies were received.
They were received very well, and they were wonderful homilies, very well written and given, and very enlightening to us, especially because a lot of people just don't know what natural family planning is and also what the church teaches about contraception. They are against contraception, and this is one of the only, this is the only way that the church will accept people to postpone pregnancy.
Another thing that you can do during Natural Family Planning Week is to include a flyer in the parish bulletin about the benefits of natural family planning, with the addresses and phone numbers of local teachers. And the place that you can get that information is the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network, which is an organization to which Betty and I both belong, and we are members. And we have a list of all the instructors and teachers with all the various methods throughout the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and we can make available that information to you. You can just go to the website at pnfpn.org and get the information directly off the website. The other website that you can go to is the United States Catholic Conference on Bishops. That's usccb.org. And they have an entire link to natural family planning. And in fact, they have posters that are available for your parish bulletin boards that are $1.75 a piece. One side is in English. The other side is in Spanish. So they're now bilingual. And you can order these still in time to be able to hang these up on your bulletin boards to announce the information.
And one of our priest friends, Father Tim Christie, who's a pastor at St. Magdalene's Parish in Flemington, he suggests that all parishes or parish priests have pamphlets at the entrances to the church beforehand to prep the people weeks before, so that when he does give his homilies on NFP, they're not surprised or wondering what he's talking about. He wants people to be aware of this, and just having some information ahead of time really helps people. And a good way to promote it also is through your pre-Cana teams, if they can help to facilitate some of this pamphlet handouts or encourage some notices in the church bulletin.
Another way that you could do the promotion is to request that the priest and the deacons include in the prayer of petition a prayer to either end abortion or end euthanasia or contraception or sterilization, or pray for natural family planning, or for couples to be informed as to natural family planning, and have that prayed for by the entire member of the audience. So these are just some of the things that you can do to prepare for Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, which is coming up the third week in July. And as I said, we'll have further announcements about that both at the end of this program and next month. And I'd like to now welcome our special guest who's just arrived on a very timely basis. Our guest is Lauren Rivera, and she comes to us from way over in New Jersey. So,
yep.
Lauren, welcome.
Thank you.
You may want to come a little closer to the microphone.
Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. And this is Lauren's first stint on international radio, so we're going across the waves, across the seas, to all of our millions of listeners out there on WISP 1570 AM radio.
And poor Lauren had to travel so far, so I want you to take a deep breath. Don't be concerned. She didn't even get a chance to, you know, be ready or
anything.
Don't
worry, I was praying the whole time.
Oh,
so
well, that's great.
I'm prepared.
That's wonderful. I'm happy to hear that.
So why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, basically, I am a mental health counselor and addiction counselor. I am married. I've been married for about 2.5 years to my husband. We have a son. He's about 20 months old. And we just bought a house in Somerdale, and basically
Oh, very nice.
And how far away is Somerdale, New Jersey from Doylestown?
Oh, gosh. It probably took us about an hour and a half.
Well, we appreciate the effort that you made to get here.
Oh, I'm grateful for being
here. We'd like to welcome you.
Very grateful.
So I know that you and I have spoken about this before, so some of these questions are a little redundant between you and I, but for the purposes of our listening audience, how did you first hear about natural family planning?
Well, honestly, my husband and I, instead of picking the pre-Cana classes, we decided to go on the retreat, which was awesome, at an abbey in, I think we were in the Diocese of Paterson. And we went for a weekend retreat, which was awesome. I mean, we got to, you know, really answer some good questions, talk about marriage, and it was very intimate. And we actually wrote our wedding vows while we were there. And part of the thing was that these couples came to talk about natural family planning. And I have to be honest that when they came, I kind of was making jokes about it. I'm just like, yeah, they had about 5 kids with them. The woman was pregnant, and they're trying to talk to us about birth control. And at this point, I was on birth control pills, and I'm thinking, yeah, right, I'm going to go off then. You know, I didn't see children as blessings, not burdens. I just kind of was like, oh, I don't want that many kids, you know.
Right.
So I kind of listened. It went in out the other ear. But that was basically the first time I heard of it. I didn't know there was any other options for women. I mean, basically, I was put on birth control at a very young age, and I thought that's what you do. That's what
right.
society tells you to do.
Exactly.
Now, if you don't mind, go back a little bit and retrace that, if you recall that interaction where you were placed on the pill.
Mm-hmm.
Was it suggested to you by the healthcare provider that you were going to? You don't have to mention any
mm-hmm.
names,
mm-hmm.
or did you go in requesting it because you were anticipating, you know, the need for it, or just how did that happen? And did you get a full disclaimer of what the potential side effects and everything could be?
Actually, I went on because I was actually having very bad menstrual cramps. So basically, it wasn't for the purpose of birth control. I went on and, you know, mm-hmm. my family was like, oh, yeah, go on there. It'll help with your cramps. And I went to the doctor. I told him I was having, you know, problems with cramps. And it basically kind of was given to me that way, like, it's going to help you, it's going
right.
to make you feel better, you're not going to have cramps where you're, you know, getting sick every month. And it did actually help my cramps. And they said, oh, it'll clear your skin up. And it kind of was presented as this, you know, great thing, because obviously I was a teenager. I think I was 15 years old.
Wow.
And you know, my face was blemished, I had acne, and it was something that, oh, that sounds great, you know, my cramps will be gone, and I'll have a beautiful complexion. And I honestly didn't know half of the stuff I know now. I mean, obviously,
and I think our mothers don't know either.
Exactly.
So they automatically assume that it's quite all right,
mm-hmm.
especially if a doctor is prescribing this.
Yep,
you know, it
exactly.
has to be okay.
Exactly. Well, a lot of times people put their, you know, faith in doctors, but
absolutely.
They're not God, you know,
yeah.
but you don't read if they say it's okay, it's okay, you
right,
know, and
exactly.
I rarely read through the papers of what the side effects were. I remember them saying, you know, watch out, because if you're a smoker, you know, you could have blood clots, but basically that's the only real side effect that I've,
right.
you know, heard of the dangers.
Exactly.
Did you have any problems with them for the period of time that you were on them?
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of different things. But the funny part is I kind of justified it because I wanted to look good. And, you know, as long as my cramps weren't there. And eventually when I did starting to have, because I wasn't always a Catholic. I wasn't always practicing Catholic.
Right.
But it makes it easy to sin. It really makes it easy to sin. And now I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back on it now, being off of them now for a year, it's amazing at the differences and the side effects. But I wasn't even aware of it.
Right.
When you're
wow.
on it, you don't even be, you're not even aware of it.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it really was.
Do you, would you mind sharing with us a little bit about your faith history as far as
oh, no,
how you
all.
Were raised and how you came to the church and
yep.
where you are right now?
Sure. Basically, I was raised Catholic. I made my sacraments in the Catholic church. My mother used to make me go to church every Sunday, which I hated her for, but, you know, now I thank God that she raised me that way. But I basically feel that I didn't get the education behind everything. Like,
mm-hmm.
I kind of knew, oh, the church says this and that, but I didn't understand why. Like, I didn't understand the reasons. And maybe it's because I didn't educate myself. It was probably my own fault because I kind of wasn't paying attention.
I think a lot of Catholics are in that situation. Did you go to Catholic school or did you just go to
I didn't go to
Catholic,
just CC Day.
And I think it's difficult if you're not exposed every single
mm-hmm.
day.
Definitely.
Once a week isn't doing it.
Definitely.
You know?
But basically what happened was, I ended up, after my confirmation, just leaving, not going back. My mother said, well, it's your decision now, and,
right.
you know, and you have to do it for you, and I left. I stopped going to church. I started, basically, I've struggled with depression my whole life, so at a young age, I I had a very, very increased self-hatred for myself. I hated myself. I thought I was ugly, no good, and a lot of, like, self-defeating behaviors I would do. I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be part of the in crowd. So I figure, oh, if I use drugs and alcohol, I can get there. So basically, I threw all my morals out the window and just tried to do what everybody else was doing to be liked by people. Mm-hmm. And I kind of pushed God aside, and it wasn't about God. It was about me.
Right.
And I took my will. And, you know, as Father Crappie always says, which I love, it's when you abuse your self will and your choice, you lose it. Eventually you lose your choice and you lose your self will. And I ended up, becoming addicted to drugs and alcohol. And, During that time, I was, you know, I tried a little bit of witchcraft. I was practicing Wicca. I would get spell books and, you know, try to turn outcomes the way I wanted them to be. And I didn't see that it's God has a will and it's God's way. I was trying to make my own way. And maybe if I do a spell on this person, this will happen. And I thought that I had that power and that control.
Mm-hmm.
And I also realized that, through being Wiccan for a short period of my time, there was many gods. There's the God of the sun and the grass and the birds. And there's, you know, it was many gods.
Mm-hmm.
And something seemed a little fishy. A couple white flags went up because I always taught there's one God and that's it. You know, the Ten Commandments, like there's one God. And something didn't seem right. I was very confused. I wanted the answers, but I didn't know how to get them. And I went to different places. I was playing the Ouija board. It said all these horrible things. It was awful, basically. And then eventually I ended up, on my own self will, I ended up basically in a living hell. I was basically in a living hell where I was on my knees begging God to kill me. I just wanted to die. And thank God I turned to him because, it was when I had nothing left. It was when I had nobody. I had no self-respect, I had nothing. And not even materially, but inside I was dead. I was totally dead. And, I read this one book my friend gave me, a notebook, and it said, God will restore your soul. And I'm not even sure. I think it's Psalms. I don't even know where it's from, but I read that and it was kind of like a last option. Like I used God as a last option, which I know now. I always use him as first option now. But I'm like, God, if you're real, I need you to restore my soul and I need you now because I can't do this anymore. And I literally felt at that point, as soon as I did that and turned it over, I felt this presence just come through me.
Wow.
And
isn't that beautiful?
It was amazing. I mean, I still think about it and I just smile thinking about it. And it was amazing. And from that point on, I heard God tell me, not in words, but in feeling, that everything's going to be okay. You don't have to do this to yourself.
Right.
And from that point on, I got into therapy. I got into treatment. I, you know, started going to support groups. And that was at age 21.
Wow. Yeah. All the energy that you spend and people in general searching the opposite of what the truth is. You know, we don't realize how much energy we put into those things.
Exactly.
And we say, oh, we can't do it anymore. And the only way out is through God. And when we turn our energy to him, it's so empowering, you know, it's so strengthening. And that's beautiful. I mean, and to struggle so much in your late teens and early 20s, I mean, it's so many kids get lost and they don't find the way back, you know? So you're really a blessing to sit beside me
today. Trust me.
And what a beautiful person you are.
Oh, thank you.
It's so enlightening to me.
I would remind our audience that we are a live call-in show, and we have a special guest with us who's sharing her beautiful witness. And I think that a lot of the parts of Lauren Rivera's story are shared and felt by a lot of people out there who may be listening to Catholic Radio. And we would invite you that if you have any questions for any of us or any comments, to please call the program at 215-345-1570. We'd be more than happy to entertain any questions. And since now Lauren is a professional addiction and substance abuse counselor, She may be able to give you some insight and point you in a direction of where to turn and what to go. And you can see how God can bring good out of evil and bring good out of bad. Not that I'm saying that Lauren was evil, but she was probably, by her own admission, doing some evil things.
Oh, yeah.
So you turned the corner and you came back. And tell us a little bit about your journey back. How did you get back into it? And you know, what were the next steps after you finally realized that instead of God being the last answer, that he was the first answer?
Well, basically, I started coming back to my faith. I started becoming more spiritual, where I began praying. I started really developing a relationship with God because I never talked to him before. I didn't know you could actually communicate and he can talk back to you. I thought it's, you know, yeah, he's up there somewhere far away.
Right.
And I started praying and I started getting answers and just developing that relationship. I ended up meeting my husband, and basically we were married in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit after we were married, I started telling him that, you know, honey, I'm really thinking that I want to try some other churches, because I know we're Catholic, but some of these other churches seem pretty cool. Like, they have music and games and, you know, it's fun. It seems like it's funner. So my husband was actually really upset. He's like, Lauren, you know, I married you in the Catholic Church. That's my faith. And he was very upset, thank God, because
went off again, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so basically I started realizing that I'm Catholic, but I'm not. I don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even have a relationship with Mary. I realized that I had a relationship with Jesus and God. I prayed. I didn't know how to pray the rosary. I was like, what? You know, I didn't have a relationship with Mary. And it all started by a little simple prayer. One night, I remember, I went to bed and I said, Mary, you know, I want to know you. I want to get to know you. And basically, a week later, my friend gave me a book on Medjugorje. It was called The Message, Wayne Weibel. And I read it in 2 days flat. And I just felt this strong calling, like, to go. And of course, it was God's will that I went. I was praying. I had no money, but God made a way. I saved up money. We went. I went by myself. Christian, my son, was about 6 months at the time. And it was hard. It really was hard for me to go, to leave my husband and my family and spend the money. But basically, when I went, I was on birth control pills.
Mm.
And we were on the van going up there, and I'm hiding my pills in the bag. You know, I'm like, I don't want anyone to see my pills, because everybody was like a true, real Catholic, you know?
Wow.
And it was cool, because I remember this one girl I was roommates with, she was so upset because she missed Mass. And that the week before, and she had to go to confession, and I'm thinking, why is she so upset about that? What's the big deal? And all kinds of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so I ended up going, and this trip literally changed my life. It changed my life even more. This was just a continuation of my conversion back to
mm-hmm.
the church.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I experienced miracles over there. I saw,
wow,
you know, different things. I saw the sun spin. I saw rosy beads turn to gold. It was just, I can't even explain it. It was like heaven on earth. And I wrote a petition out to Mary on the way out there. And all my prayers were answered. All
wow.
my prayers were answered.
You're giving
in
me
that
the
trip.
Goosebumps.
I met this woman who was actually friends with the man that we were staying with, his house.
Mm-hmm.
This woman was his friend. She was a little Croatian woman. And I was walking back from adoration after seeing all these, you know, amazing things. And my faith was just so strong, because I know it, blessed are those who see who believe without seeing.
Right.
But I did see. So, I mean, my faith was just increased by seeing the miracle of the sun. And what happened was, I was coming back from adoration and I was telling everybody, you know, this is wonderful. I saw this miracle of the sun, and this Croatian woman starts going blah, 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 in Croatia and pointing at me. And I'm like, what is she doing? So Josef, who was the man of the house we were staying at, he spoke English. He's told me, Lauren, do you mind if my friend my friend has a message to you from Our Lady.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, yeah, right. You know, who is this lady? I was totally skeptical.
Right.
So I'm sitting there, and first she tells me, you know, basically everything in my petition. You know, I know you struggle with your weight. You need to give it to God. And I wrote that in my petition. So I'm thinking, you know, anyone could know I have a problem with my weight looking at me.
Yeah.
I was very skeptical. Then she continues to say everything about my life, every little minuscule detail
wow.
about my life, that I struggled with depression, that I turned to drugs and alcohol to cope with the depression, that I was adopted and I need to forgive, you know, my mother for giving me up for adoption, and I need to trust in God, and all these loving, loving things she
mm-hmm.
was telling me. The first day I went there, I went to confession. I did a real confession, the first one I've ever done my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I told the priest everything,
mm-hmm.
all my sins, the birth control. He told me, consider natural family planning. So I was like, okay.
So you heard the word again.
Exactly. I heard it again, the second time. So
it's good to mention it during this program, natural family planning.
Oh, definitely. I heard the word again. And basically she told me, God forgave you for your sins, but sin no more.
Mm.
And I thought about that, and I said, how can I keep going to confessing a sin and keep doing it?
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about that, and I stopped my pill that night. And and that was June 25th, the anniversary of the apparitions. It will be a year next week.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep. The other thing she said was, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're now healed of your depression and no longer have to take your medications.
Wow.
And when I got home, I weaned off my medications.
Wow.
And there's not 1 ounce of depression in me. And I know, because I tried to go off my antidepressants when I got pregnant with my son.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a month later, depression came right back.
Oh.
I was having suicidal thoughts. I was, you know, I was isolating. I wasn't answering the phone. I was sleeping till 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm.
No motivation. This time, nothing. I'm totally healed, you know?
Praise God.
Yes.
That's beautiful. What a beautiful story. And it is amazing when you feel that grip of faith. I mean, you may not know the religion and all the aspects of everything about the religion, but we know in our heart what is right, and then we can build on that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful thing. Wow.
Definitely.
What kind of training did you go through for natural family planning? Where did you learn your take your classes and your training?
Well, basically, when I got home from the trip, I told my husband that I was off my birth control.
And how did he feel about that?
About how did he feel?
Yeah.
He was supportive, but he was honestly a little worried, like, what are we going to do?
Right.
But he definitely felt good about it, that he knew that the church didn't approve of it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, we called the diocese and tried to get an appointment to meet, and it was very easy. I basically called. They gave me 2 instructors that were in Pennsylvania.
Oh, great.
And we went to their house, and basically they sat down with us for a couple hours and went over everything on how to do it, you know, how to take your temperature and everything like that. So basically I started that and got the training for it.
Oh, great.
We have a caller calling in.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Thanks
How
for
are
calling.
You? Oh, you're welcome. My name is Nicole, and I'm actually a friend of Lauren's.
Ah, great.
Hey, Nicole. How you doing?
Great. This has been such a wonderful experience because now I know the radio station exists, so I can listen also.
Oh,
praise
great.
God.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I do know Lauren, and the natural family planning, when she had told me about it, I'm not married, but just knowing the side effects and, you know, in terms of religion, I also went off of my birth control, too. So
great.
I haven't been on it. So, yeah.
Well, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And the more, you know, you have the ability to learn so much more about your body and your God-given fertility and it's a beautiful gift that God gave us, and we kind of like discount it and push it aside. We don't think it's important, but it is so important. So I thank you so much for your witness there.
And if you're interested in getting more information, there's a network of supporters of Natural Family Planning called the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network. And you can go on their website at pnfpn.org.
Okay.
And there are quarterly newsletters that come out that will give you up-to-date information on what's going on in the area, different classes that are occurring, some blurbs from different people, a little witness and testimony, and sometimes some scientific information. So if you want to get involved in networking with other people who use NFP, you'll have a support network built up so that when you decide to take a class that you'll have a background in it, and maybe someday you can become an NFP instructor.
There's also a lot of information on really good books and tapes and organizations, and even like presentations that are given throughout the Archdiocese on NFP. So if anyone else out there besides Nicole is listening, we want you to know that you can go on the pnfpn.org and get all that information, and it's updated on a regular basis. So even when we teach our pre-CANA class, I have noticed that there's over 1,600 websites alone just on NFP.
Wow.
So there's a ton of information, but people just aren't aware of it.
Right.
So
awareness is key. Thank you. It's been a wonderful experience having Lauren on. She truly is an inspiration to the Catholic Church.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much
for your call.
Thanks for your support.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks.
So see that? You have a fan club.
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
That's great.
There you go.
And if any of our other listeners are out there and they'd like to make a call or a comment or, you know, just give us a short little call. Our number is 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. We'd love to hear from you.
Now, you left off with talking about that you took the NFP classes. Did you have any difficulty with your husband in learning the information?
No, not at all. Not at all.
What was your husband's response to his participation and his part in the whole?
At first, I would say we were both a little nervous about it,
mm-hmm.
Of course, about the abstaining thing. But we didn't realize that if abstaining isn't like a burden either, it helps your marriage grow, and it's about self-sacrifice and, you know, things like that. And I really didn't realize it's really not that if you're postponing a pregnancy, it's not that long of a time that you have to really
right.
abstain, you know, together. He is very supportive, though. And from that one class, we had a really, really good understanding of it.
Good.
We went home. They were very – we basically sent home every month. You know, we would send them the chart, and they would call me and tell me what I was doing right, what I was doing wrong. In probably 2 months, we had it down.
Wow, that's great.
And we really didn't need any other assistance with it.
Uh-huh.
Great.
So, yeah.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And even in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, if you do take a class – you're welcome to come back and take a refresher course at no charge at any time. So you're never alone, because your body does change throughout, you know, the years after having children, or, you know, as you approach perimenopause or menopause, your body's constantly changing. So some people need that reinforcement. So it's always there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a whole network of people that are willing to help anybody that's practicing NFP to understand that and just be a support to them.
I think you told me, do you live in the Diocese of Camden?
Yes.
Okay, so I think you told me that maybe you were considering getting involved in the Family
mm-hmm.
Life Office.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Are you in the beginning steps?
I'm actually in the beginning steps. I did, what happened was I ended up being the coordinator of our pro-life committee at my church at St. Jude's in Blackwood. So I've been taking on that responsibility, working with that. But I did contact, I emailed somebody. I'm going to be starting going to Natural Family support groups. They have meetings
yes.
and groups.
Oh, great.
And I met someone at my church who actually turned me on to that. And
mm-hmm.
her and her husband were going to get together, and they have picnics and outings
right.
and things like that. So I'm just really excited that I'm going to be meeting people like me.
Right.
People that, exactly. like my husband and myself.
Right.
Because it can get really lonesome out there.
Right.
And not
that it's discouraged, too.
Exactly.
You feel like, well, am I the only one here?
Exactly. Because the percentage of people doing NFP are so, you know, it's so tiny that it's hard to meet people with the same mindset.
And the people that do practice NFP are such beautiful people. And some of them have lots of children. Mm-hmm. Not all, but some, because they love the gift of life. And it's so wonderful to them. And then there are other people that are struggling with their infertility. So there's all kinds of people that are involved with this NFP and all the different organizations and all. It's really a lovely thing. I know our group, we try to have a picnic every year too. And it just reinforces everything for us. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Have you perceived any type of response from either former friends or current friends in this transition in your life, and what has that response been in saying, what are you, nuts, or did you go off the deep end, or what are you studying in this counseling thing that you're into now? Or
actually, yeah, I did. Both myself and my husband both experienced some negative comments, mostly from family. Mm. A lot of them saying, you know, we've heard it before. It's the rhythm method. You're going to get pregnant, you know, 100 times.
Right.
I think Mike's mother said, oh, you know what they call people on rhythm method. And Mike said, what? Parents,
right.
You know, they always, that's like the common joke.
Yeah.
But,
and is that a bad thing?
No, it's not. Which is like, now that I'm in a different mindset,
yeah.
I want to be a parent. I want
right.
to keep having kids. I mean,
yeah.
my son has given me so much joy, and mm-hmm. and I can't even, my heart is just so big, you know, from him, and
mm-hmm.
and I do want more children, and it's not a burden, and I know that no matter what, all I have to do is trust in God, and he'll take care of it.
Right.
He'll help us provide.
You're absolutely right.
It's always that, oh, do we have not enough money? We got to make sure it works out on paper, and
mm-hmm.
we have enough money, but it's not about money. And I don't want to not have children because I'm afraid of the financial, you know, financially. And
mm-hmm.
it's just not a good reason not to have more children,
mm-hmm.
just because you're afraid of financially. God mm-hmm. will provide. He has this far for me. He's going to keep doing it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, but I did receive a couple other, you know, comments.
Have you had any attacks?
What
you would consider to be attacks? Because I know when Betty and I, we told our story before, so I'm not going to repeat it. But when we both converted our lives to natural family planning, there were very specific attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we have a son and daughter-in-law who just became instructors of natural family planning, and they are being attacked also.
Mm.
And it just seems that whenever, you know, you do change your life over and you do say yes to God, that you will be persecuted, because look what happened to Jesus.
Exactly.
And he was always alone.
Yeah.
Even though he had his 12 disciples, apostles around him and everything, he went off alone to pray, and he went into the desert to fast and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always alone because he was so different from everyone else in following his father's commandments. So he ultimately was attacked, and ultimately we all know the story. So
mm-hmm.
Besides the negative comments, have you had any kind of attacks that you can think of related to health or family or jobs or, you know, anything like that?
And not necessarily.
And it's not really other people attacking you, but it's kind of...
It's Satan.
It is.
It's kind of amusing, but it's not like our son Greg and Jen. Their air conditioner broke for 2 full
mm-hmm.
weeks in the heat wave, you
mm-hmm.
know? No matter what they did, they couldn't get the repairman out to their house.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as of last night, when the weather changed, the repairman came.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, things like that. I mean, it's just amazing. Every time you turn around, it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
And, but if you know you're being attacked, you can at least stand up to it. And I always say, hey, it's hot, so what?
Yep.
You can't get me, Satan.
Yep.
You know, I can handle this.
This week, actually, I did have a couple attacks where our dryer broke this week. There's a couple other things I can't think offhand, but I remember saying to myself, it's because I'm doing the radio show on Friday.
Oh.
Because he doesn't want my message to get out. And
exactly.
I kind of laugh it off, like, you're just a nuisance and you're not going to stop me.
Well, even with the traffic today, trying
exactly.
to get here.
Exactly.
It was so difficult, I'm sure.
I was late for my first radio program here.
Really?
Also. Yes.
Yeah.
I was coming from the office and... I was coming to Voices of the Unborn as a guest, and I was very apprehensive and nervous. And, you know, Bill and Jeanette, Bill Miller was here with Jeanette Williams, and they were waiting for me. And I was calling, I was listening to the radio, and I heard them on the radio in the car. And I'm driving here, and I'm calling them on my cell phone and saying, I'm almost there. Where do I turn now? And got here about 10 after 1 for a 1 o'clock start and ran in here breathless and
just like I
jumped
did.
In the
yeah.
chair. And so I know exactly where you're, you
we
know.
Were driving up 611 and there's a car in front of me going so slow. And I just thought in my head, move over, Satan. Move over. Let me get
right.
up there, you know.
I got a message to say and I'm going to go up and say
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
care if I get there for the last 5 minutes. I'm
right.
going to be there,
yep.
you know.
Say nothing's going to stop me.
Well,
he's just a nuisance.
Patrick is the station manager and... he said, what are you going to do if she's not here? And I said, we're going on. And then my wife said to me, well, what are we going to talk about? And I said, the Holy Spirit will guide us.
Yep,
don't
exactly.
worry about it.
Exactly.
I had all these papers in my folder. I know Natural Family Planning Awareness Week is coming up. I said, you know, I could sit here and talk with announcements for an hour. You know,
yeah.
So
yep.
it is amazing. But the attacks do come, and don't
they
be
do.
Surprised, and we'll pray for you.
Yeah,
and I ask
you.
Everyone out there to pray for Lauren and Mike and Christian and her family and their ministry in natural family planning, that they'll continue to progress and get the word out there. Again, I remind our callers, we have about 15 minutes left to go on our program. We never know where the time goes when we're here because it goes by so rapidly. But we're 215-345-1570. We have a special guest who's speaking to many issues today, not only conversion from some fallings in life to come back to the church and come back to God, but some issues with drugs and alcohol, addiction, depression, marriage, pregnancy, being a woman, being a mother, self-esteem issues, ego issues, plus natural family planning, all wrapped into one. So if you have any comments or any questions about any of these issues, I think that she's speaking to a lot of women out there who have a lot of these issues, both with contraception and what they hear from their physicians, and peer pressure and societal pressure, and now has a totally different perspective where the scales have fallen off the eyes and she can see with a clear vision to where she's going and what she's doing. And she's here to put that message out to you to give you confidence and encouragement and support. So if you have a comment or a question for Lauren or any of us, 215-345-1570. The lines will be open for another 15 minutes. We'll be able to take your calls until 5. With your now doing NFP, regardless of, you know, comments from your family and everything, has it made a difference in your marriage and in your relationship with your husband?
Oh, definitely.
Can you
definitely.
Speak to that just a little bit?
It's so amazing because I can't necessarily pinpoint how it's affected my marriage, but I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And the one main reason where I can see it's a huge difference is I didn't realize this, but birth control actually decreased my desire to be mm-hmm. intimate with my husband. And since going off, it's amazing. It's
mm-hmm.
amazing. It's I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I can enjoy being intimate with my husband,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just about pleasure. It's more.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize, and I just didn't realize that when I'm with my husband in an intimate way, it's not just about pleasure. You know, we're renewing our wedding vows, and I never thought of it that way.
Right.
And so now I can actually feel God's presence when we're together,
mm-hmm.
and it's a much more sensual experience
overall.
Well,
you know, matrimony is a sacrament. And I think that a lot of people think, well, when you get married on your wedding day, you receive the sacrament of matrimony. But yet when you unite with each other in the nuptial embrace, you're receiving that sacrament over and over and over
mm-hmm.
again throughout your life. And it's just so fulfilling and so enriching. And I think, too, that people that practice NFP are more loving and kind, kinder to each other. Not that we don't argue and bicker now and then, but we really have the stronger sense of this family unity and our children, that it's so important. And the sacrament of marriage really becomes alive. You know, I think about all the other different sacraments like holy orders. If you're a priest, you know, you just don't get holy orders once. You have it all the time. And that's the same with matrimony. And we have the ability to have the sacrament of penance all the time if we just put ourselves out there for that. And we don't really think of it in that respect, you know. So we're very fortunate. Sacrament of baptism, I mean, once we're baptized, you know, we're there all the time. We've received, and it's just beautiful.
Well, what you're speaking to is the definition of a sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. And so every time you manifest those outward signs or those sacraments, you're getting grace. And if everybody needs help getting through their lives with all the difficulties, and certainly some of the difficulties that you've had are some of the worst that anybody can have, especially as a teenager. And the main thing that you need to get through that, you already referred to having God, and what you get from God to help you is that grace. And when you turn away from the sacraments, you're no longer getting that help, and you're no longer getting the grace.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say, if you had to get up in front of a group of pre-Cana couples that were contemplating, you know, they're preparing for marriage, and you had like 5 minutes to get up, and you couldn't tell your whole story like you have for the last 40 minutes here, and you could say something to them to try to encourage them to consider natural family planning, how would you approach that particular aspect? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot because I know you don't teach pre-Cana, but, you know, I think that just speaking from your own experience, you know, you would come up with something, and I just want the audience to hear, you know, a kind of a little blurb of what you would say to them.
I think basically I would say don't be like me. No, that doesn't work all the time. So I think basically what really helped me was when I came back from Medjugorje, I told my husband I wasn't on birth control anymore. And we started watching EWTN one day, and I saw Dr. Janet Smith's Contraceptives, Why Not? Mm. And it was literally that program that was the final, like, the final straw. I was like, that's it, because I wasn't educated on contraceptives.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I would probably do a lot of education on contraceptives, why the church doesn't approve of them, and also take the perception of you're blocking God out, which I didn't see that I was blocking mm-hmm. God out. I didn't understand that I was doing that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of pre-Cana, they don't understand, and they need to be fed. And like you said, when you first went to pre-Cana, you kind of blew it off, but you at least heard the word
mm-hmm.
or the phrase. And that's what I say all the time to our priests and our pre-Cana groups that we speak with. You need to speak about this topic. It doesn't mean you're going to change some hearts that day,
mm-hmm.
but the seed needs to be planted, because as people mature, they realize, what was I doing? What was I thinking? This is so much better. So much better for my lifestyle and my marriage and my health and everything else.
Yep.
So it is a beautiful thing. So even if you can't teach pre-Cana, you need to hopefully give witness to people, because that's what God has planned for you now.
Definitely.
Because
well, part of
beautiful.
The story is for those of you who may be wondering how we arrive at choices for guests here on our program, and we haven't had one for about 6 or 7 months now because we were busy doing our Theology of the Body series for the past couple of months at least, was that Lauren came into my office as a patient several months ago, and during the process of her history revelation to me, she told me some of the aspects of her story, and I felt moved by the Holy Spirit. So right at the spot, I invited her to be on the radio and said, you need to tell this story because there are a lot of people out there that are like you, that have not turned it around and have not said yes and are still saying no. And you can give a lot of confidence and a lot of support and a lot of affirmation to a lot of women who are going through the exact same type of struggles. And you're young and you have a beautiful story. And Jesus told all of his stories in parables because we can't comprehend and understand with our human weakened minds, no matter how intellectual we all might think we are and how educated we all may think we are. We can't understand and comprehend all the ways that the Lord has for us. And hearing people's stories and having witnesses, and some of the most powerful programs that we've ever had here were witness stories, and that's what yours is a witness story, a conversion story, a kind of rags to riches story, but it's more from lack of grace to grace, fall to being arisen again. And you want to talk about being born again. I guess you can say that you're born again because you're born again of the Spirit because you are where you are.
Hmm.
So besides those issues with the pre-Cana issues, get back a little bit to NFP just for a last couple of minutes before we wrap up, and then we'll let you have any final comments that you have because we have about 7 minutes left. Have you had any problems or difficulties with using NFP? You know, everybody says, oh, well, there must be something, you know, it must be, you know, your thermometer must break, or you forget your charts when you go away on vacation, or, you know, isn't it just easier to take a pill every day and not have to be counting days and worrying about all this, you know?
It's actually easier than taking a pill. I know that from personal experience. A lot of times I would end up forgetting a pill and then have to take two and then two more. And I mean, I did things you weren't supposed to do on the pill. But I believe it's easier than taking the pill. You know, I have it set up by my alarm clock. I basically, as soon as the alarm goes off for work, I take my thermometer, stick it in my mouth, take my temperature, you know, put it to the side. Go to work, you know, check when every time I go to the bathroom, check my mucus. Basically, when I get home that night, that's when I look at the thermometer and write it on the chart and do the same thing over again.
Right.
I'm actually going to my parents this weekend for Father's Day, so I got my thermometer in the bag and I got my chart. And that's basically, it's the same. Right. I mean,
and it takes less than a minute.
Exactly.
I always say to our classes, you know, it's quicker to take your temperature than it is to brush your teeth.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't leave the house in the morning without brushing your teeth, you know? So
now, when you go out with either your girlfriends, with yourself, or if you and your husband go out with your friends, if you have an opportunity to get a sitter and get out for that rare occasion that, you know, people with young children go out for, do you ever get into conversations about this
with your friends? Oh, yeah. I'm constantly trying to
spread the good news.
Spread the good news. I want to. Like, I want somebody to, I want to tell people. I wish people told me about it.
Exactly.
And I'm always, you know, passing out CDs, giving out pamphlets, talking to people. Wherever I hear it come up, I always want to, you know, put my word in and get the truth out there, because there's all these myths about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not as effective as birth control. It's, you know, oh, you're going to get pregnant. You can't ever, you know, make love with your husband. There's just so many myths out there. And every time I hear it, I just want to tell them the truth,
mm-hmm.
what the truth is about it as a person that does it.
Right.
So I'm always trying to get people to
do they ever
to
debate
check it
you?
Out.
Do they ask you for proof?
It hasn't happened that way yet, but I know it will.
Well, just tell them. You got 1,600 websites they could
exactly.
There's so much literature and so many books out there. We just, you know, we usually give out a big resource list when we teach a class and also when we present at pre-Cana with the most popular books. There's about 20 books and websites on the list, just to give people a little taste if they want to go and research it. So,
we're winding down to the last 2 minutes, so do you have any final comments, thoughts, prayerful observations, anything that you would like to throw out to the audience? Don't want to put any pressure on you. We can fill in the time with some announcements and stuff. But
no, I'm just really grateful to be here. And I really, when you asked me to be on the show, my mouth literally dropped. I just like, why me? Why me? But God has a plan for me, and I can't say no to it. And I have to just keep spreading the word. And I know that when God gives you a message, a mission, He gives you the resources, and you will be able to. He'll give you the strength and the grace and the resources. And I'm just really glad to be here. And I just want to thank you so much for having me on the show.
And I want to thank you, because this was a beautiful...
Betty had no idea about your story, and she's saying, "Tell me about this girl." And I said, "You'll hear it when you hear." Just, you know, open the door and ask the question, and you'll hear the story.
I'm so touched. Believe me, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, we have 30 seconds, so why don't we end in prayer? And we'll thank our audience for listening, and we'll thank Lauren for coming, and her husband and her little boy next door out the window that we're waving to, for being so patient for the last 58 minutes or so. And we'll end with a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you all for being with us, and we invite you to come back to us next month. And don't forget Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. And God bless, and have a great Father's Day.
You have been listening to NFP for Life with Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Join us on the third Friday of every month from 4 to 5 p.m. for NFP for Life. Thank you for listening, and may God abundantly bless you and your family.